Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of November, 2011, All Souls Day, also known as El Día de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We are on KVOI AM 1030, known as The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And we shout out to our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. The Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service, and now, thanks to a new agreement, the Buckmaster Show can also be heard 24/7 at TucsonCitizen.com. Our thanks to our friends at TucsonCitizen.com for making our program available to more Arizonans. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. Today's lineup includes a leadoff conversation with State Representative Matt Hines. Then at 20 past the hour, Sam Wersinski of the Arizona Advocacy Network Foundation discussing the future of clean elections. At 30 past noon, Barry Broom, head of the Greater Phoenix Economic Council, joins us. Then we close out the show with the Dean of Cuisine at Pima Community College, Chef Barry Infuso. He'll be bringing us up to date about the comings and goings on the Tucson restaurant scene. If you have any restaurant questions, now would be a great time to get those questions ready, and then call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040 or toll-free 1-866-725-5467. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to get a hold of us. Well, state senators in Arizona voted 21-6 last night to remove the chairwoman of the Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission, thus throwing the redistricting of the state's congressional and legislative boundaries into limbo. The unprecedented vote confirmed Republican Governor Jan Brewer's removal of Tucsonan Colleen Mathis, the lone independent on the panel. Brewer said Mathis was guilty of gross misconduct, both in how she operated the commission and in the maps for the 30 legislative and 9 congressional districts that the panel is charged with drawing. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, State Representative Matt Hines. Dr. Hines represents Tucson's District 29. He is a Democrat. Representative Hines, Dr. Hines, good to talk with you. How you doing?
Bill, it's great to be here. It's been far too long. How are you?
It has been far too long since we talked with you, and I've been looking forward to having you on the Buckmaster Show and the Buckmaster Show Network. Let's get your reaction to this really unprecedented thing that happened in Phoenix last night.
You know, Bill, I was amazed. I was, of course, to be honest, embarrassed and also disappointed at the actions of Governor Brewer, and really stunned that a 21 votes, entirely Republican, in the Senate would confirm such a reckless overextension of executive authority. Without proper notice, without evidence to support her vague claims in the letter she sent to Colleen Mathis and the IRC, or any due process, to my way of thinking, the only gross misconduct that occurred yesterday was the governor's action out of state, as she's in New York selling a book, and then, of course, the Senate's approval and confirmation of that action. It's really, truly gross misconduct. I mean, one of the best things about this redistricting process is that the voters put into effect in 2000, 11 years ago, an independent redistricting process to remove from the legislators, like me, right, to remove from us the authority to redraw the line, because we are partisan, we are politicians, and our continuation of service depends upon these lines and the composition of the districts. And because of our bias, we were removed from the process by a vote of the people. And now the Constitution dictates that the IRC draw the line. I'm still actually in shock that this could happen.
Well, the removal of Colleen Mathis creates all sorts of other questions, Representative Hines, starting with now, how will her replacement be named? And then another huge question, what does this do? I guess this is the big question. What happens now with the legislative and congressional maps? We've got an election next year, and folks will need to start campaigning very soon.
Yeah, that's indeed a problem. The folks at the recorder's office, especially the Maricopa County recorder's office, millions of voters in Maricopa County, and obviously in Pima County, many hundreds of thousands of voters as well. These recorders and the election officials at our county level must have these lines so they can do the proper precinct adjustments and get all of their voter files in order. They need months and months to do that, and I don't want to get too highly technical because it does make your mind your head spin eventually. But there is a process. If the chair is removed, or any member, if the chair is removed or can't serve, for example, due to a health cause, then there is a prescribed procedure in the Constitution of the state that states the appellate court appointments, the Commission on Appellate Court Appointments, will convene and then pick three new independent choices from which the four remaining, two Democrat and two Republican commissioners, will then choose a replacement chair. Now, they can still be meeting if they want. They can still have a quorum of three. They can continue, four rather. They can continue to operate, but there's some question as to whether or not that's going to go forward. And there's a court case. As you probably know, I can update you as of a little bit ago this morning, the attorneys for the IRC and for the individual members of the Independent Redistricting Commission have filed in the Supreme Court of Arizona a special action, a request to have this emergently reviewed by the Supreme Court, because really the IRC has been delegated legislative authority, meaning that is the IRC, those five volunteer civilians are the legislature when you look at the purpose of redistricting. That is what they are. So
I think, Representative Hines, in my opinion, I think we have a constitutional crisis in this state over this right now.
Bill, I think that's exactly what we have, and unnecessarily, because looking at the lines, you know, I can love or hate my district and any other person can. It doesn't matter. We're out of the process. And the fact that Governor Brewer, again, in New York selling a book, directed Ken Bennett to call this session and to disrupt this independent process, to overturn the will of the voters at the request, principally, of the at least four of our Republican congressional delegation, including, and I just found this out yesterday, even Ben Quayle's mother called the governor and asked for this to happen. And to overturn the will of Arizona's voters on the whim of any one person, whether they're in Congress or whether they're a congressperson's mother, that's just not the way the process is supposed to go forward.
Representative Hines, let's take a quick call on the Buckmaster Show live line. Jerry is with us. You're with Representative Matt Hines, Democrat District 29 from Tucson. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. I happen to be one of the individuals who attended many of the first of the district meetings. I drove all the way up to Phoenix. I also had received a copy of Kathy Mathis's application, of which she didn't happen to mention any of the information about her husband. And I spoke directly with her husband, and he inadvertently informed me that he had been the treasurer of Nancy Enright's campaign. So what concerned me was the fact that they didn't remove her sooner because she had not bothered to mention this on her application.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Let's hear from Representative Hines.
Certainly. You know, I have heard that as well, and that was an omission, an accident, as I understand it. And Mr. Sturtz, the commissioner, one of the Republican commissioners, had actually forgot to mention a variety of his own political involvement as well. So I don't really want to get down into the nitty-gritty. I think it's important that we take people at their word and look at the true concerning thing here is that the independent redistricting process is being completely turned on its head and it being overturned by hyper-partisan, politically expedient actions of the governor and the senators.
Representative Matt Hines is with us. Only a couple of minutes left. I wanted a little more time for this, and perhaps you can come back to talk about the health situation in Arizona. You've had a couple of news conferences in Phoenix in late October discussing how health care cuts so far have affected Arizonans with life-threatening conditions. As far as I can tell, you are the only MD in the Arizona legislature. Give us your take on this real quickly.
Certainly, Bill. And there are two of us, actually, but one of us is retired, so I'm the only practicing doc here.
Okay, corrected.
And these issues are tremendously important because this is life and death. And we have a situation where, with access, you have what's called the medical spend-down program. I don't want to get, again, into too much detail. Basically, life-threatening, very expensive, catastrophic illnesses can, because of the expense involved, used to be able to qualify you for temporary access, meaning a temporary health care through our Medicaid program, because we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, so your income would never be able to usually, that outpaces your income to such a degree you qualify. That program was eliminated. 34 other states in the country have Medicaid spend-down type programs, and that pushed 5,700 people, including Bobby Thayer, who contacted my office, who has an advanced type of inflammatory breast cancer, in the middle of chemotherapy, radiation, just before a double mastectomy, was informed she was going to lose her access coverage. And that's the kind of thing that you can't have patients being stressed out about when they're going through, and she was granted disability already. So these are the patients, these are real, living, breathing Arizonans who have temporarily catastrophic health circumstances that need a little bit of support, a safety net for their health care, so that we can get them back to being fully participatory, tax-paying citizens. And that's just what I would like us to be looking at and focusing on, putting some of these programs back to help people when they really, truly do need that kind of government assistance just temporarily.
Representative Matt Hines, Democrat, Tucson District 29, thank you very much for leading off today's edition of the Buckmaster Show. Have a great day, man.
My pleasure, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Bye now.
12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking about clean elections. We'll still talk politics here, the first half hour of the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us, listen to the fine sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, and please support these people. They believe in what we're doing, and let them know. Drop by their businesses.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Well, 12:21 on the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show. Our home station is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice and The Voice Network, with our friends carrying our program out of Douglas and out of Globe. Together we make up The Voice Network, and the Buckmaster Show is now heard in 8 of Arizona's 15 counties. A big legal victory for the Arizona Advocacy Network Foundation, as the courts last week in Phoenix declared unconstitutional an effort to repeal Arizona's 1998 anti-corruption law known as Clean Elections. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix is Sam Worsinski. He is a former Democratic candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. Mr. Worsinski now works with the Arizona Advocacy Network, a nonprofit, nonpartisan group that promotes accountability of officials through government of, by, and for the people. Sam Worsinski, thanks for being with us.
Bill, always a pleasure to join you on your show.
So what was the basis of this court challenge, Sam?
Well, in Arizona, our Constitution states that if the legislature or the citizens are going to try to amend the Constitution, the proposal has to be narrow enough so that it only covers one single subject. And what this legislative referral did was it actually went after two different constitutional articles, Article 13, which has to do with the empowering of chartered cities like Tucson, in Article 7, Section 19, which deals with our elections and clean elections. So we were successful in challenging the unconstitutionality of this legislative referral based on that ground.
And what court heard this, made that decision in Phoenix last week?
This was heard by Judge Fink in the Maricopa County Superior Court.
And what happens now? What do you expect? Do you expect another repeal measure to surface?
Well, we don't expect the opponents of clean elections to appeal to the Arizona Supreme Court the judgment by, or the decision by Judge Fink. They would have had to have already filed the motion to do that appeal. It's hard to say whether or not we'll see the legislature refer to the 2012 ballot another repeal measure to kill clean elections like this last one. You know, we know in 2010, Bill, there was an effort by really some significant large corporations, big money interests, to put a very similar repeal measure on the 2010 ballot, But that was stopped in the House. The state representatives said no, that they weren't going to do that. This year in 2011, during the session, however, the big lobbying groups came in with more gun power, and they were successful in twisting enough arms to get it repealed. And that's where we had to step in and demonstrate and show, you know, that it was unconstitutional what was being attempted here.
Sam Wyrsinski is with us from the Arizona Advocacy Network. Tell me something. Do you think the people of Arizona are getting their money's worth with clean elections, Sam?
Well, I think what we're seeing through clean elections is a significant increase in civic engagement. The number of citizens participating in the process from the very start, being able to contribute to candidate campaigns, has gone up exponentially. Prior to clean elections, there were effectively three zip codes that provided all the financial support for candidates, two of those in Maricopa County, one in northern Pima County. And that is a demonstration in itself that you have a select group of people who can afford to donate to campaigns really weighing in on who is going to be able to get their message out to the state, to their constituency. We have seen the spread of $5 contributions go into every corner of the state now, so it's significantly increased the civic engagement. Clean elections has had its problems since being passed in 1998, and I think that the Clean Elections Commission has done a good job in addressing the problems, the mechanics of clean elections as they have arisen. We still find that there are ways to strengthen this anti-corruption law. You know, particularly in the wake of Fiesta Bowl, we think that we need to strengthen these anti-corruption measures in Arizona with a gift ban. We need conflict of interest laws put in place. And we certainly need more disclosure of who's contributing in campaigns.
Would you expect a challenge to in the upcoming session of the legislature with some lawmakers going after clean elections again?
Well, that is possible, but we do know that there are a large number of legislators, both in the House and the Senate, who do support clean elections. It's difficult for them in many cases when you have just an army or a parade of lobbyists and big money special interests arm twisting. And that's what we saw in the last 3 days of the legislative session this year. The state representatives actually were not going to vote for the repeal measure until, you know, a group of lobbyists got into the state house and convinced them otherwise. Arizonans support clean elections bill by 77%. We did a poll in April of likely 2012 voters. We had 80% Democrats, 78% Independents, and 74% of Republicans that were polled. And this was after they were given a detailed explanation of how the system operates, how it provides public campaign funding to candidates, and the numbers were, you know, I think just amazing at 77%.
We're going to be talking with Barry Broom here in a few minutes. Barry heads up the Greater Phoenix Economic Council. We're going to be talking about solar energy. What's the connection with our state's growing solar manufacturing industry and clean elections, Sam Wyrsinski?
Well, I think that's a great point to make, Bill, because our Corporation Commission is made up of five clean election candidates. Arizona today has the second highest renewable energy standard in the nation behind California. These people regulate the utilities. We know that the utilities would like to see the repeal of clean elections. In fact, in 2010, executives from Tucson Electric and Power were at the legislature lobbying the House members to put the repeal measure on the ballot. So with this clean energy standard, clean elections has provided these commissioners a shield from the power and the influence that money can have on a candidate looking to be reelected or even elected the first time. I think that's a great example of how this system has worked successfully for the citizens.
Sam Wyrsinski, thank you very much from the Arizona Advocacy Network Foundation. I know you're on Facebook, and where else on the web can folks find out more about you?
azadvocacy.org.
Sam Wyrsinski, have yourself a great afternoon, and thanks for being with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. That's Sam Wyrsinski talking about clean elections here on the Buckmaster Show. And we're going to be segueing here in a few moments after we hear from the Buckmaster Show fine sponsors talking about solar energy. Mr. Wyrsinski was talking about the connection with clean elections and Arizona's renewable energy standards. We'll be talking about the solar industry in Arizona with Barry Broom. He's the head of the Greater Phoenix Economic Council. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Crews across the Northeast are still working to restore power to almost 1.2 million homes and businesses. They're in the dark after that powerful weekend snowstorm. After a steep two-day decline, stocks are coming back today as international leaders try to salvage a plan to prevent a financial crisis in Europe. The Arab League says Syria has accepted a proposal to ease the country's seven-month-old political crisis. The plan calls for Syria to withdraw all tanks and armored vehicles from the streets, stop violence against demonstrators. Updating Wall Street, the Dow is up about 181 points, the NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 32, and the S&P trading 20 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Well, 34 on the Buckmaster Show, and the home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, the voice Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Well, Arizona ranks third among states for the number of solar energy jobs. That, according to a recent industry survey, only California and Colorado created more solar jobs. Arizona had an estimated 4,800 solar jobs, nearly 1,000 solar establishments were firmly planted in Arizona as of August, according to a survey conducted by the Solar Foundation, a nonprofit solar energy promotion group. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Barry Broom. Mr. Broom is head of the Greater Phoenix Economic Council, and he wrote about profiting from solar in a recent op-ed piece in the Arizona Republic. Barry Broom, thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks for having me.
Barry, what do you like about solar?
Well, there's a couple of things that I like about it. First off, if Arizona or our markets are going to be national leaders in the economy, you got to dominate a technology sector. So when you think of a great region or a great state, there's one or two or three technology sectors they dominate. And what I like about solar, it's a technology sector that Arizona can dominate. The second reason that I like solar is it's a clean energy source. And when you look at how you're going to turn economies around, you replace old technologies with new. I think clean and renewable energy sources are going to replace carbon sources. And I think the net effect of that, it's going to grow the U.S. economy. The third reason that I like solar is it's an exportable product. So when you look at Arizona's economy today, we're way too dependent upon housing, construction, and retail. And we've been dependent upon growth instead of excellence. And a solar technology product is something we can grow and export to places like China and California. I think it really creates a wealth demand for Arizona. And then in the near and long term, there's going to be very serious energy shortages in places like California and Arizona. And I don't think that the world stage is going to have an appetite for expanded activity in technologies like coal. And I think it's going to be a solution to our long-term energy needs, one of them.
Barry Broom, have the prospects changed since that California solar company with $535 million in federal loan guarantees went out of business, went bankrupt?
Yeah, I think it's hurt the industry, unfortunately. I think it has played into the hands of some people that are trying to undermine the president's energy policy, and I think it's playing into the hands of some people that want to see, you know, carbon energy sources continue to be the largest subsidized energy in the United States. So it's, you know, I'd like to tell you it hasn't been damaging, but it has been damaging. But it was probably inevitable. If it wasn't Solyndra, it would have been some other failure because, you know, the one thing new emerging technology industries do is they manage failure. So Solyndra is its first high-profile failure. It's probably being overstated and overplayed. And what it's doing is it's making the capital market skittish. And whenever that happens, it's not good for any industry, especially an emerging one.
Barry Broom is with us. He is head of the Greater Phoenix Economic Council. Mr. Broom, every 3 weeks or so here on the Buckmaster Show, we showcase what we call the CEO interview series presented by TRIO, the Tucson Regional Economic Developer. How closely is Phoenix working with TRIO right now in bringing jobs to this state?
Very closely. We have a lot of respect for Joe Snell's leadership down there. We collaborate together on public policy, so we do a lot of things on policy together to help promote Arizona's competitiveness. You know, we do a lot. I mean, we are big supporters of the University of Arizona. I worked very closely with Robert Shelton. I'm anxious for the next university president to come in so we can continue our work. You know, we're obviously supporting the pharmacy and medical school development in Phoenix by U of A. And Michael Crow, I believe, is now coming on TRIO's board. So TRIO is starting to leverage a relationship with Arizona State. You know, we do a lot of things together internationally. We do a lot of things on branding and communicating the state. And we work in concert on California together.
You know, you mentioned California, and I think there are some great opportunities, and I'm sure you're well aware of them, as is Mr. Snell with TRIO. That recent piece in the Wall Street Journal about how California is driving away jobs and business, CKE Company, which runs Hardee's and Carl's Jr., has actually stopped opening restaurants in California. And of course, the big problem, why they're avoiding California, the state's tax and other burdens.
Yeah, California's, you know, and this is actually it's a concern/opportunity for Arizona. I mean, a robust California is the best scenario for Arizona, you know, because we get so much spillover effect from California to Arizona. And, of course, you know, having California have a big appetite for renewable energy is an export opportunity in Arizona. But I think California's real problem is really, believe it or not, I would consider their tax environment, you know, a secondary problem in California. Their two biggest problems, in my opinion, is one, function. And when people talk about business-friendly, Arizona is very business-friendly. That doesn't necessarily mean you're competitive. But if you ask an Arizona local official, elected official, policymaker, they'll try their best to help a business. California is not business-friendly, and that's actually a bigger problem than their tax rate, because they could become business-friendly and still be expensive. And if people wanted to do business in their market, they could actually accomplish that. The second problem with California is they're now becoming so structurally unsound. You know, I read a report, and it was fairly credible, that California is now spending more public dollars every year underwriting their public pension program than they are spending in their university systems. If you know anything about California's economy, it's really been propelled from an excellence perspective from the Caltechs and the UCLAs, UCSDs, and the Stanfords. So their structural problems are even are becoming so severe that I would say their tax and cost position may be a secondary problem for them.
You have talked a lot about opportunities in your area in Phoenix. One of the things you were quoted as far as in the Arizona Republic saying some of the things, opportunities that the Valley is missing, and you were saying you need to build up a more diversified and sustainable economy by making a bigger move to clean technology. What kind of technologies are you talking about, Barry Broom?
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, you know, so, you know, we people tend to grasp on to one comment or word. So, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on the word solar in Arizona and greater Phoenix. But, you know, we had two announcements in the last 2 weeks. One was Maxwell Technologies, which came from San Diego to Peoria, Arizona. And it's really a storage technology, and it's really in clean tech. And solar is one of the energy sources that it has a chance to have a customer relationship with. But it also has a chance to have a customer relationship with wind, hydro, biogas. And so there's a lot broader discussion around clean tech and clean energy than just solar. It's a sector inside that cluster. And then we announced another company, ironically, called Clear Energy, which is making a $10 million, $225 investment. And they're making basically a portable or potable, transferable, standalone utility that can produce a 1 or 2 megawatt output that can be used to supplement energy needs in difficult circumstances in industries like mining. And this is a company that is not using solar as a technology driver. You know, it's using biogas and natural gas as a technology driver. And its engine technology, even though it's clean tech, has a lot of the personalities of aerospace energy, aerospace engines. So, you know, we're looking at this clean tech. You know, what are the other energy sources? What are the storage sources? What is the talent behind clean energy? You know, what is energy utilization? You know, how do you convert, you know, other renewable products into clean energy sources? Water, I would consider to be a clean tech. And, you know, Arizona State University has been building a tremendous competency in water and scarcity management, utilization of water, that is becoming so prevalent globally, that's actually going to become an industry.
You know, this Sun Corridor, which consists of Pima, Pinal, and Maricopa County, continues to grow. The Marshall Vest, the UA economist, predicting that 8.5 million people will be living in what's called the Sun Corridor. With this Sun Corridor, there are all sorts of economic opportunities, right, for Phoenix and Tucson?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the, you know, we still have kind of a, you know, wild card in our poker deck that works for us in Arizona, no matter how many mistakes we make. And it's called being young with a growing population. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why, you know, a more relevant discussion on immigration has to occur in Arizona. Because, you know, if you're not a growing population and you're a declining population, you're in a lot of trouble. You know, the long-term economic threats to to declining population trends have never been reversed anywhere. It's really the fatal threats in certain places like Detroit and Cleveland, and long-term threats in countries like Japan and Germany. So this whole megapolitan corridor, the fact that we're going to have a big footprint, the fact that over time, you know, we're going to become, you know, one of the five or six biggest states in the nation is a big opportunity. But that big opportunity has to be offset with smart planning and sustainability, and that's another value of being in this solar clean tech, is not only are we creating jobs, but we're going to create an economy that has less of an impact on our environment. And long term, as we continue to grow and reach a state of 12 to 16 million people, which is the range we're heading into, you know, we need to be very thoughtful about how we manage water and how we manage our natural resources.
Barry Broom, thank you very much for talking with us from Phoenix. Barry Broom, head of the Greater Phoenix Economic Council. Have yourself a great afternoon. Hope to talk with you again. Thank you very much. Barry Broom with us coming up on 12:45. He was with us from Phoenix. Now we're going to be talking Tucson, the restaurant scene. The chef is going to, and chef is with us. Chef Barry is in the house. He'll be with me in studio. Barry and Fuso, that's next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011, and the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. Two out of three people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection at Golf Links and Cold and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show and the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our partners broadcasting out of Douglas and Globe. We've got Southern Arizona covered here on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking about food, appropriately enough, during the noon hour here on the Buckmaster Show with Chef Barry Infuso. Chef Barry is known as the Dean of Cuisine at Pima Community College. He heads up the Culinary Arts Program, and Barry has been writing about restaurants and talking about restaurants for a long time. And Barry, it's good to see you.
Bill, likewise. Congratulations. Great to be in your new home.
Yeah, we're very happy here at KVOI and happy with the show. Tell me, Barry, about this exploding downtown. Let's begin with downtown. Everybody's talking about the restaurant scene, which seems to be kind of driving this resurgence of, Rio Nuevo and downtown development, redevelopment.
It really does, and I think Llanos was certainly one of the most high-profile people to go down there. That, of course, would draw other people because as soon as they would see that Llanos was there, they would go. And, of course, we had Mr. On being on Broadway or on Congress, and then he exited as well.
That was kind of then those two big-name restaurateurs were kind of the driving force, the catalyst.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and we see other places that are new to people, places like The Hub, which does more of a American kind of diner cuisine in many ways, and also ice cream in their stores. So they have a different type of following of a traditional restaurant, and then we see that Villa Thai restaurant moved out of the University Avenue area and went is now on Stone by Congress, and that's very exciting. She loves being down there, so we're very delighted to see so many people coming down there with new concepts, new ideas.
A lot of new young talent coming up in your business, and that must be very gratifying to you. I know you were doing some judging at the recent Tucson Meet Yourself festival. Were you impressed with the quality of young people that's coming through?
I was exceptionally impressed. As an educator, I see what I do as passing that torch, if you will, of knowledge onto the new generation. And you see young people coming in there doing marvelous things. Now, there's always going to be room, of course, for the Llanos and Albert Halls. But my feeling is that what's happening is that they've taken their group or their share of the market with them, and they're people of my age and older who are going as regular customers, much in the same way that Anthony's and the Tack Room did. But then there's a new generation coming along who's carrying that torch, and people are looking for exciting new foods. And I was really impressed with Maria Mezan from Boca, which is in the location of former Greasy Tony's.
And Greasy Tony's was there forever. Over by the University on Speedway.
That's
now there's a place called, what is it, Boca?
Boca. And so she's there doing, she has 18 different types of tacos on the menu. Wednesday, which is today, is Exotic Taco Day, and I spoke with her earlier this week, and she said she got a good price on shark and was doing shark for the exotic. But she also does things like rattlesnakes. She does things with salmon. She does things with octopus. So there's a lot of interesting things that she's doing with her food. And Saturday is her launch for her new three-course menu, three courses, and it's $15. Now, it's a styrofoam plate, plasticware type of place. But here's someone who's really starting off on a shoestring, and I bet we're going to see her going places, and that's very exciting. And she won the competition as the Iron Chef, and she was competing against Tamara Stempy, who is the executive chef over at the Oro Valley Country Club. And she had spent about 7 years at the El Conquistador Hotel in their Dos Locos Cafe. And so it was very exciting to see the things that she does. So we see this young energy coming forward, bringing forth delicious food, and people are loving it. And we also see restaurants, too, like Vera Amore, which has done a great job in pizza. And I know
they're, of course, one of the Buckmaster Show sponsors. We love their pizza. We love what they're doing.
Isn't it fabulous?
And their concept with the gastropub at Noble Hops.
Noble Hops. We love Noble Hops. So they're doing a great job up there. And on the other side, outside of town, up at Oracle, was Harvest Moon, which is a very, very wonderful, delicious Chinese food. I was there when they were doing a fundraiser for the Chinese Cultural Center. And Martin Yan was there. And the food was terrific. And Wang Zhang has done a fabulous job in that decor and the food, and it's got a very, very good following there.
The Culinary Food Festival was a big success, and of course we mentioned Tucson Meet Yourself. There's also a fundraiser coming up, something called the, is it Empty Bowl?
Empty Bowls.
Tell me about the Empty Bowls event.
Empty Bowls, we have 500 bowls coming from Southern Arizona clay artists. Everything has an acronym, it's SACA. And Southern Arizona clay artists are donating 500 empty bowls. These are all handcrafted. And this is going over to the Kino Community Center, which is just by that walkway overpass on Ajo, very close to Country Club. And it's a very, very big place. I think the cross street there is Forbes. But anyway, you go in there, and 18 restaurants have donated soup, gallons and gallons of soup. And so you go in there and you buy a bowl, and all the proceeds go to the community food bank. So you can buy bowls based on size, $10 or $15. What a great place to get gifts for the holidays for people that are inexpensive but handcrafted by local artists, and you have as much soup as you want to. So that's this Thursday from 11 till 1:30.
Thursday, 11 till 1:30, so that's tomorrow. And Barry, give us that location again for the Empty Bowls event.
Sure, it's the Kino Community Center. So if you're on Ajo, and if you looked it up, we could certainly find it, but right there, it's on Ajo, just past Country Club, on the north side of the street. And it is clearly marked, and drive in there, and you'll have a fabulous time. I've been there for the last few years, and have been contacting these restaurants, and they're so generous. The restaurateurs are always so very, very generous.
How is your program going? We're speaking about young chefs, the culinary arts program at Pima Community College.
Well, it's fabulous. I mean, it's just that we always have a waiting list, so that's a nice place to be, that people are really enjoying coming to our school. They're enjoying this idea of the industry. And a nice thing about a community college, it's an exploration area. So not everybody is going to go off to be a chef, but at least they have a college degree with them when they leave. And even we have people who are in second careers going there. So there's a wide group of people of interest. So anyone who is retired and wanted to go there could also do that too. As a community college, it's open to the community.
How long a waiting list do you have?
Well, we're on a waiting list for the spring. We have about 15 people on that waiting list, but this would be a good time to be thinking about the fall. And every Wednesday at 1 p.m., we do an informational meeting at our Desert Vista campus, so that's always very exciting.
It's 12:56 on the Buckmaster Show. Chef Barry Infuso is with us from Pima Community College. We like to call him the Dean of Cuisine. Barry, we've been talking about some of the successful young startups, the young chefs. What are the challenges, though, facing this industry since the market really dove in 2008? It's been a tough go for many restaurants here.
Yeah, it really is. It's the sort of thing that everyone's facing. It's all kinds of businesses, but certainly in the restaurant business, and people not being able to work full-time, part-time hours, hours reduced, and certainly places. I know I was speaking with Albert Hall. He said now that he has two locations, one over at the Tona Chule Park, it's very, very hard in the summertime. But yet, you know, it certain things appeal to people. The people at Tavolino restaurant, the Italian restaurant, they were just saying business had been really good this summer. They were really concerned moving to a new location, but it's done very, very well. But these are just economic times, and you have to adjust accordingly. So you have to be offering things that are going to attract us to go out. People are willing to go out, but they always want to watch how much money they're spending. So you have to be offering specials for folks.
Any idea what's going to go in that space where Cafe Terracotta was located up in the foothills? I drove by there the other day, and it looked like it was just still sitting empty up there.
It is still sitting empty. I contacted the new owners of that building and asked them about was that a place that we could expand our school to, and they said, you know, they're really looking to sell, not to rent.
So that would be a great idea to put a satellite location for your school in there.
It would be fabulous up there, and it's all got everything in there.
Yeah, but they decided that they want an owner, not a renter.
Right. They wanted to sell the building rather than rent it, but that's the sort of situation that in that case, I mean, I certainly don't know the economics of what was going on with Terracotta, but certainly they had all that competition coming from the Encantada Center, yeah.
It's just there's so much competition in this market.
So many places, that's right.
Got about a minute to go. Any new food concepts that you like lately?
Yeah, I'm very interested in what they're doing over at Maynard's. You know, they're doing such a focus on scratch cooking, scratch food, and the chef there is doing a spectacular job. His name is Adam Busali, and he is focusing on his traditional training, but also introducing new foods. He was certainly responsible for helping to bring in that farmer's market. He has a chef, a pastry chef there, who is doing a fabulous job, Dennis Heise, and he's doing it all from scratch. This is very unusual to get people to be doing puff pastry and doughs and that from scratch just because of the time. But he is such a believer in the artisan methods, and I think we're going to see more and more of that, that these individuals are doing things by hand in the old
traditional handcrafted culinary,
and that's what people are responding to. So it's not just the same old dish.
Barry Infuso, always a pleasure to see you. Barry Infuso, Dean of Cuisine at Pima Community College. Thanks, Barry, for being with us.
My pleasure. Always good to see you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in parts by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to wrap it up for the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We are here Monday through Friday live, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you here tomorrow, noon to 1. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.